Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast as we, with the Lord's help, conclude a message I've been sharing on the subject of healing. And we were looking at a scripture as we brought yesterday's broadcast to a close in Matthew 14, 28 through 30, and the Lord came to the disciples out on the sea, and Peter answered him. He said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me come unto thee on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." Well, this is good evidence that sometimes if we keep our eyes on the healer, on Jesus, we won't sink. Peter got his eyes on the wind, and immediately he looked at things in the natural, and he realized man can't walk on water. And sure enough, the miraculous, the supernatural was occurring, was halted. And so if we get our eyes on our conditions, on the symptoms, and don't look to the Lord, we can find also that we are defeated. Some people who've actually experienced healing, they felt God's power, the touch of the Master's hand, and then they began to look at their circumstances, and immediately they began to lose their healing. And so it's important we understand that it is one of God's gracious gifts. He's given gifts of healing to the body of Christ, just like He's given the vocal gifts, the gift of prophecy. He's given the working of miracles, faith, the power gifts, the vocal gifts. He's given these to demonstrate His power to this generation, and that we can experience that surely in our own lives. Do you remember the situation recorded in John, the 5th chapter, the man at the pool of Bethesda? There were a lot of people there, but Jesus saw a certain individual. He'd been there, had that infirmity for 38 years. When he saw him, he says, "Do you want to be whole?" And he says, "Take up your bed and walk." And then it says, verse 11, he answered the Jews, and he said, "He that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk." They asked him, "What man is it that said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk?" And he didn't know it was Jesus. But verse 14, it said, "Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee." So that is a sober warning that these are God's gifts. He wants us to prosper and be in health, but we must reverence the gifts of God, His blessings in our lives, and desire to lead a holy life, to walk in obedience to His commands as outlined in the Word of God. Remember when Jesus spoke to a man who was healed because he had been dumb? It was a real miracle, and Jesus warned the people that healing consists not only in receiving, but in maintaining the healing. The man was cleansed. The devil that caused the affliction had been cast out. And what do we see? Scripture talks about the devil walks about in dry places seeking rest, finding none. And then he comes back to the house that he had been ejected from. It was empty, and it was cleansed, but it wasn't filled. And so he goes and gets seven more spirits more wicked than himself and returns, and the state of that man is worse than at the first. And so this, of course, is a lesson given to us to show that we must fill our lives with Christ, with the Spirit of God. When God does do a work in our lives, we must not sit down and do nothing. and just expect that's where, you know, we're just going to enjoy the blessings, do nothing to increase our knowledge of the Lord. We're to be filled with His Spirit and power. When God does something for us, we must work to grow in His grace and power. We have to grow in the things of God. If an individual doesn't actively pursue the things of God and allows himself to be entangled again with the things of the world, or uses his healing just to enjoy the pleasures of sin, then he will surely not only receive the same sickness back, but something even worse, seven times worse, that can come upon him. The devil, beloved, only needs a crack in the door to get in. You must have that door open in your spiritual life to the things of God and closed to the devil, and your heart must be filled with the things of God. And these are some sobering warnings that Jesus gives us, that the scriptures give us. And so we must walk in the fear and admonition of the Lord. That's the beginning of wisdom, beloved. But there is a better way. What is the better way? Not just for us to be healed, not to receive repeated healings, as wonderful as those that may be, but the Word of God, I believe, specifically states that His plan is divine health for His people. If ye abide in me, and there's the condition now, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. That's John 15:7. God is a God of conditional promise. The Bible is filled with promises that we can be healed, but the promises have conditions that go with them. That, if, for example, you want to be forgiven of your sins, well, what we call typically the Lord's Prayer, you have to forgive others. If you want your Heavenly Father to forgive you, there's the condition. You know, I didn't say it, I didn't make it, I'm just reporting it. We must walk in obedience and in faith before the Lord. And if we'll do that, if we walk in obedience and faith, we will see miracles performed. I believe it. In Exodus 23:25, we find, "And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water." This is the Old Testament, beloved, "and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay upon all them that hate thee." Whoa. And so our new covenant is based on better promises. As we walk in obedience to the voice of God, to the Spirit of God, to the Word of God, and as we hearken diligently, knowing to do all that we know to do, we can trust that none of these diseases will come upon us. Those stripes that were laid upon the back of Jesus, those 39 stripes, I've heard somewhere that relates to all the sicknesses that can come on mankind. We, because of those cruel stripes laid upon his back, Peter says, "by whose stripes ye were," that's past tense, "were healed." And so, beloved, we can claim God's healing. We have to believe that it's true, that it's part of the God's covenant to us. The Lord originally stated that he would give a covenant of healing to his people. In fact, there are more than 130 references to healing in the Word of God. There's perhaps more than that. In the Old and New Covenant, God has always been a healer of his people. In Exodus 15:26, the Word of God says, and he declares, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." See, there's two out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. We see that in Exodus 15:26, which I just shared, and Exodus 23:25. He said he put the diseases upon them that hated their enemies. So, beloved, we have to understand God is a good God, and we can walk with confidence in that covenant of healing. And then just a final thought. Some people may not be healed because they simply won't fast and pray. Uh-oh, now that's a sensitive subject. I once preached on fasting and someone's brother said, well, I can't fast. I can't do that. Well, it is a truism that faith for healing can be appropriated more quickly through fasting and prayer and reading God's word more than any other way. And there's many different ways of fasting. God knows your physical limitations, your physical condition. He's not saying to go on an absolute fast. There's, you know, drink, you know, 3 days, that's it. No water, no food. Esther did that. But that is a severe fast. Others, what they call a normal fast, is with water. And that is something that is between you and the Lord. And then, you know, I've done a lot of that in my younger years. Now I do a lot of juice fasting. And so, but it doesn't even have to be that. You can fast desserts, fast coffee, fast tea, whatever things you like. You can make that a fast to the Lord. Fast TV. I mean, it's the spirit of the fast. It's denying of self. And this principle of fasting and prayer will bring healing and deliverance when nothing else will. Let me give you again a spiritual reference found in Mark, the 9th chapter. And Jesus was in the mount and he came down and in the Mount of Transfiguration. And he comes to his disciples and he saw there were a great multitude around them. People were amazed. They ran to him. And one of the multitude came to Jesus. He said, Master, I brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, and it tears him. And his disciples couldn't heal them. And Jesus said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? When they brought him to Jesus, he cast out that devil. And he said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And he charged that deaf and dumb spirit to come out. Verse 29, he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Well, beloved, this is hardly comprehensive these few days that I've shared with you, but I hope it's encourage you to believe for your healing and for the healing of those you love, to be able to pray the prayer of faith that others can be healed. That is, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So, beloved, this is it's a large subject, but it's one of those precious gifts that God has for you and for his people. So as I bring this broadcast to a close, again, I thank you for joining me. If you need prayer for healing of any sort, mentally, physically, spiritually, or circumstantially, I would love to hear from you. Thank you for joining me. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.